The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, which of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time, each and every week, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And a lot of Hall of Fame news this week.
So much Hall of Fame news.
A surprising amount of Hall of Fame news. And as soon as I say that out loud, Dalton, I'm going to ask you to Google it while I get things going, because we're going to get to that here in a little bit. Will you find out if that RVD stuff has been, if it was official or if it was just rumored? I am 99% sure it is not official yet. I'm 97% sure it's not official. It was just the rumor. But then we had two new inductees just today. I love it when news happens before we actually record, because that never happens. We are never lucky enough to get that. So, but before we get to the actual Hall of Fame news, that'll be a little bit later, follow up to a story that we talked about last week, which was the report that Andrade had requested his release from WWE. And over the weekend, it was granted. The initial report was that he requested his release and they denied it, but that has since been proven either not true or has changed, because now Andrade is a free agent, and according to Meltzer, that his release does not include a non-compete clause.
Yeah, I'm very confused on WWE's contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you let your contract lapse, so if you just refuse to sign, you have a 90-day no-compete clause, which mm-hmm. is really weird that at the end of the contract, you have a three-month layover where you can't make money. But if you get released, sometimes you don't have a 90-day compete clause, but you're actually voiding your contract more than the person that just didn't re-sign.
Well, the thing is that apparently, and I don't know if this is true, this is just something that I saw online, and I don't remember who I saw it from, so I wish I could cite it properly, and I hate to be putting out potentially misinformation out there, but my understanding is that the 90-day non-compete clause is actually optional. The issue is if you don't agree to the 90 days, it impacts how much money WWE actually has to pay you. So, like, when people are released, they do still have that 90-day, you know, even if it's from, hey, you're fired, to, hey, we're letting you out of your contract, to, oh, you just didn't resign, your contract has expired. All of that includes a option for the non-compete clause, and it's just a matter of, it's not a penalty that you have to pay, as far as I know, but it is a, okay, you're not going, we're supposed to pay you out through the end of this date for $100,000. But if you don't sign this non-compete clause, we only have to pay you $70,000.
Yeah.
I made up both of those numbers. And again, I'm not even 100% sure if that's true. But I do remember seeing that. And that's why sometimes there are some attached, sometimes there's not. So we talked about Andrade and how great he is last week. So we're not going to rehash the absolute bungling that yeah. is not having something for someone as talented as that to do.
If you want our quick review of how good we think Andrade is, real damn good. You may proceed.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. So I will ask you though, where do you
in New Japan?
This is the typical cycle of what we do when this happens, because it's weird how often this happens. Where do you think he'll go first, and where do you want him to go? Like, what is your ideal Andrade?
It's,
like, where would you book him?
It's the same answer for both. New Japan.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where I want to see him. That's where I think he'll go, that I will be able to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
In all reality, he's going to go to, I don't know which one he's more affiliated with. He's either going to go to CMLL or AAA. Double A? Mm-hmm. Triple A?
Triple A.
Triple A? Yeah. Double A is the insurance. I always get those flipped in my head. But
also not.
Oh, is it also Triple A?
Yeah.
They're both Triple A. Okay, so it's the insurance and the Lucha Libre.
Well, there's insurance, but it's also like the roadside assistance.
Well, all right, that's what I mean.
I know that because I signed up for it this weekend because I am now peak adult.
You've reached your final form.
I've made it, yeah.
But, I mean, obviously he's probably going to do either one of those two. Again, I don't know which one he's affiliated with. And we've talked about Lucha Libre in Mexico and the two promotions and how they work, which is not well together. So, I mean, he's obviously going to do that because that's where, I mean, he lives in Mexico, doesn't he? Like, doesn't he have like a home there?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I thought
we discovered that he had been engaged to Charlotte for like more than a year because we didn't know if we thought they had gotten engaged, but we weren't sure. So we had to look that up last week too.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely engaged to Charlotte, and I don't know I don't know if they're living together, if they still have separate homes, or if they, you know, she kept her home, he kept his, and now they basically just have, you know, two
homes on homes on homes.
Yeah, which also is like, that's a certain level of like intimate knowledge that I'm really okay with not knowing.
Yeah, like I don't
about
need
these
to
people that I watch on television that I do not know in any real sense.
Yeah, I don't need to know where these people live. I just, for some reason, I thought that there was a thing about him having a house in Mexico. I'm not 100% sure. But like, I obviously he's going to go there because that's where he was a star before. And he was like a big deal. Like,
I don't think it's obvious because, I mean, he's done stuff in pretty much everywhere. Like, I think he'll go to ROH.
That's where you
think he'll
go?
Maybe not full time. Maybe, you know, not for more than just, you know, a cup of coffee. But I look at people like EC3 and Matt Cardona and how they kind of pick and choose and are just go and, you know, they're just kind of, they'll do a stop off here. Matt Cardona, you know, did that little story bit with Cody in AEW before seemingly settling in Impact. EC3 had that feud with Moose in Impact before ultimately landing in ROH. So it's, I think he could really go anywhere, especially because the ROH anniversary show is this week and he's friends with Rush. Apparently it's something I meant to bring up last week and forgot about, but apparently Andrade is the primary reason that Rush and Dragon Lee are not in WWE right now. Is because he told them, don't sign here.
Well, that's a good friend.
Yeah, like, you know.
No joke, like, that's pretty admirable on him being like, you're not gonna like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I mean, and don't get me wrong, like, I also could see him in New Japan easily. I could see him in ROH. I could see him really, the sky is the limit for him.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that where I want to see him is New Japan, because that's kind of the people I want to see him wrestle right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would fit. I mean, he's going to fit in. He's that kind of talent that he could fit in anywhere and be fine. But I don't think they'd utilize him right anywhere else except for New Japan.
Dumb question. Dragon Lee's in New Japan, isn't he?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure he is. But I'm not 100% sure. Also, I will say I hope he has. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this without coming out sounding super entitled and insulting, but if we do not get a pay-per-view level length build match between Andrade and Ray and Phoenix in AEW, why are we even here?
What's wrestling at that point?
What is the point of any of this if those two don't, because like someone pointed it out, like Phoenix is probably like the best luchador on the planet right now.
Yeah, and like,
it's like I can see, I don't know enough about Lucha Libre, and like there's a ton of people that I'm not familiar with, so I can't confidently say that. But I know how good he is, and I see what he does on AEW regularly, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can understand that. That's probably right there up towards the peak.
If you're going to ask me who's the most Rey Mysterio level luchador in right now, because like Rey Mysterio is the benchmark to which all luchadors have been put to in the last 20 years because he's the most famous one. If you're going to ask me which one is the most, like, who is the Rey Mysterio of this generation, it's Rey Fénix. because like we have Penta, but Pentagon, who is an amazing talent, wrestles a completely different way. He does because a lot of lucha stuff, but mm-hmm. that man wrestles a different way than Phoenix does.
Well, because, and also it's worth noting that when we talk about lucha, when we talk about luchador here, we're not just talking about like high flyer. Like, yeah, Phoenix is probably the best high flyer going right now, but like luchador and lucha wrestling is more than just, you know, flippy shit.
Yeah.
It is, you know, it, and the pairing of Penta and Phoenix.
It's the perfect tag team. It's the perfect tag team pairing.
They balance each other so well, and they're you know, great showcases of both sides to that coin.
Yeah.
So,
but if you're gonna ask me who's the most Rey Mysterio-esque of our generation, it's Rey Phoenix. Just the amount of innovative shit we see off that man on a weekly mm-hmm. basis is insane.
To the point of it being unnecessary.
Yeah, like you.
He doesn't need to jump from the top rope to the middle rope to the bottom rope to the middle rope to the top rope to the middle rope.
Cause like
to the next to like the corner opposite corner middle rope back up to the top rope before hitting an arm drag.
Like psychology wise,
it's extra AF.
Yeah, psychology wise, no sense. You are absolutely right. Cause like there's nothing from here to here that is changing. In my like, I should be able to just take my other arm and sweep him. But or if you do that,
take that arm and yank.
Cause if you sweep him, you know what he does? You sweep him, his back hits the rope, and then he goes back up. Like
I was gonna say.
Because we've seen him do that. But yeah, no, like, that man is ignorantly impressive. I would love to see, like, there are people in AEW I would love to see Andrade face.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to the level of, there's a lot of people in AEW right now. And it's...
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
It's the thing that we hoped didn't happen that happened. Where mm-hmm. they bloated their own roster to where they have two YouTube shows and a 2-hour weekly television show. Which, I'm happy they have all of that. I would rather them have enough content for everybody to get a viewing. But if you're going to get somebody like Andrade, that is a potentially Dean Ambrose or John Moxley style signing. That if you're not putting up in the middle of your card, like at the top of your card, why do you have them?
And it would be happening, what, 2-3 weeks?
After Christian.
After Christian Cage signing and being that new next level main event.
Yeah.
Coming in talent, so.
I mean, not that he wouldn't be, it's not that he wouldn't be worth getting. Andrade's phenomenal. But, man, you have so many phenomenal people. And let him go, let him make more money somewhere else. Like, let him make his money elsewhere and then come to you. After you've kind of subsided, like, don't get him right now. Get him later where he can be a bigger credit to you.
And honestly, that's kind of why I would like him to just go in immediately and start a program like with Phoenix. Do the Matt Cardona thing of I'm coming in to tell this one specific story to be highlighted in this way, and then I'll be on my way.
Yeah, and I would love, like, if that's all he did. Like, if Asa, this is the one time that if you were 100% right, I am one happy customer. Because, yeah, I want to see that. Mm-hmm. Him versus Pentagon, I think, would be... I mean, him versus anybody is amazing.
Oh, yeah, no, there's but a ton like, of people, but there's, it's just, there's like, that's the one that I would want to see.
Yeah, and then, like, you could even bring up, like, Pac and have those two wrestle, and that would be a lot of fun. Him versus Moxley would be baller, but I don't want to see that after already getting Christian Cage in.
Yeah.
Because you just got somebody that's just like, all right, you need to tell a good, meaty story with Christian Cage, because you have somebody that's doesn't have a lot of time left in the ring...
Mm-hmm.
In peak years wise, get every penny you can. That sounds gross, but get every penny you can out of Christian Cage and let me enjoy that.
Right.
Let Andrade go somewhere else and reestablish who he is, because not that he needs to, but man, we didn't really get full him at WWE. We got him in NXT, but... Right,
but as soon as he got called up, we got a bunch of really great matches with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, let
that
us...
was really the most meaningful that we got.
Let Andrade show, remember who the fuck he is, and then have him come into AEW, or have him come into NWA, or do something like that. Let him have the fun that he wants, and then reestablish himself. Unless AEW throws him a dump truck worth of money, to which, make that paper, baby. Do what you want to. But he also seems like the guy that wants to wrestle.
And kind of along this, I think I will say the one thing that I'm sure we both agree on is that no matter what he does, no matter where he goes, leave the mask off.
Oh man, that man
handsome,
is
handsome, handsome boy.
That man is, whew.
Charlotte is a lucky woman. Hey, speaking of Charlotte, she has been off TV the last couple weeks, and there's been a lot of speculation that it has to do with Andrade. And it got posted on 4chan originally, and it was that WWE, she threatened that if Andrade was not granted his release, she would leave the company. And they said, okay, we will grant him his release for you, but we're taking you off of WrestleMania. And she, as a way of calling her bluff, but she said yes to that. So they released Andrade and are now keeping her off of WrestleMania. That's why she hasn't been on television the last couple weeks.
That's been the speculation, yeah.
That was the post that went around on Reddit, and people were kind of spreading around like dirt sheets and stuff like that. Well, just the other day, she posted on Twitter that the reason she'd been off of television is because she tested positive for COVID. That's the reason. Not that, you know, this other stuff. Because then someone posted like, there's a new WrestleMania banner and Charlotte's not on it. She got taken off of it. It's like, they changed those posters 15 times. They have 30 different variations of those posters that get, you know, hung up everywhere.
I mean, when we were in New Orleans.
And also, look what happened with Charlotte's WrestleMania build. Originally, it looked like it was going to be her versus Lacey Evans for the women's title. Lacey gets pregnant. So, okay, that match is scrapped. Let's shove her into a match with Asuka. Okay, well, during that build, Asuka gets injured and gets taken off of television. So then the last time I think we really see Charlotte, she's talking to these other women on the roster who are like, why should you get another championship match? We also want championship matches at WrestleMania. Like, who wouldn't want that? And then so she kind of had words with, I think it was Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, or it might have been Lana and Naomi. Some combination of those four.
Yeah.
And then I think that was one of the last appearances Charlotte made before now being in quarantine. Andrade posted something after she made that post saying 4 more days and she'll be back. So hopefully that means she's just got the 4 days left of quarantine. So she may be back as soon as Monday on Raw. You know, which it's entirely possible.
Yeah. And we were in the group chat, which you're not in right now. And we were talking about
you can add me back into that at any point.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'll do that tomorrow morning then.
I've already been included in the two other group chats that basically has the exact same people.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if the original one was still even really a thing.
It's there, and me and Hunter talk every once in a while in it, and then like it's random, but I'll add you
really
back.
Really, Cody's the one that I miss the most, because he's the only one that I'm not in a group chat with currently.
Yeah.
Because like Tanner and Jesse and Shannon and Hunter,
we're all like in shows.
Different ones, yeah. Shows, and also like there's a Call of Duty one we have for.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. But anyway, we're talking about this exact situation, and I said, it's going to be really weird to have a WrestleMania without Charlotte and or Becky Lynch. Like, one of them gone, fine. Both of them gone. Like, and it's a testament to how good their women's division is, because like, it's not that I'm going to miss them or it's going to be a lesser WrestleMania without them. It's just those two have been the pillars for the last 3 years of the women's division in WWE. Mm-hmm. Not talking shit on anybody else. I'm just, that's your two big ones. Because then
else is currently not on the WrestleMania card? That Bayley? I would say is right up there with Becky and Charlotte. Bayley, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she doesn't have a match.
And like, nothing against Bayley. It's just one of those, like, her heel run is not as old as the man and then Charlotte and Becky's feud.
Which makes it even more surprising.
Yes. And again, it's really weird that you don't have things for some of your best talents on your biggest show of the year.
I'm fine with her not being in the women's championship match, but it is insane to think that Bayley doesn't have a match, like, at all. Like, I'm sure they might bring back the Mae Young Battle Royal or Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Did they do a Mae Young Cup?
They didn't do the Mae Young Invitational. They did do a Mae Young. They haven't done that this year, but they did do a Battle Royal. Because it was supposed to be Fabulous Moolah, and then they were like, nope.
And everyone's like, actually, how about you don't glorify her? Because fuck her.
That was the perfect attempt to make that the China Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
That's who it should have been, but because we already had the Mae Young Invitational.
Yeah. Well, there's only two women who've ever contributed anything to pro wrestling, Dalton. And just one of them you can't talk about because cancel culture. God, I hate myself
Man,
doing that.
The people that are just slightly younger than us, those little snowflakes. It's nice because for the last like 8 years, all I've had to hear was millennial this and millennial that. And it's really good to see Gen Z get taken down a peg. It's nice. Get those kicked out from under you early.
And honestly, like, the Rhea Ripley Asuka match is going to be phenomenal. I'm aware of that. But the Rhea Ripley reveal and championship challenge would be so much cooler if last WrestleMania didn't happen for her.
Yeah, they didn't do her a lot of favors.
They completely, like, they derailed all of that momentum, and she has not gotten it back.
That's
like,
what happens.
She's nowhere close to.
It's what happens when you dress up like Vegeta. You ain't gonna win. Tell me how many times he won. Who he ever beat?
Who'd he ever beat? God, I love that. But yeah, so Charlotte Flair hopefully is going to recover fully, is not going to have any long-term effects of COVID because we know how dangerous that can actually be. So our best to her, and hopefully, you know, maybe we'll see her back on Monday. Another triple threat. Let Rhea Ripley actually pin Charlotte.
Sweetie. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, she's in the doghouse. She's on the outs.
Yeah. Her fiance
embarrassed the company. And so now she's putting her foot down. And so they have to squash the resistance.
I can't believe they're Jeff Jarrett-ing her all over again. It's the Ultimate Warrior, just with a woman this time. How progressive, WWE.
Hey, you know what? You know what's progressive?
What?
Cancel culture, like we were talking about. Hey, speaking of cancel culture.
Oh, I got to pull that up, because did you want me to read that word for word?
No, I just wanted you to read the article so you would be aware of what we're talking about.
I thought you wanted me to read it word for word, and I was like, because I read through it like twice, and I'm like, what's funny about this? Never mind.
No, it was just, hey, here's a news story that I need you to understand what's going on, so read this article about it. But what we're talking about, everyone, is Peacock has seemingly been removing controversial footage from WWE programming already. The two big ones that we've noted that have been noted so far is WrestleMania 6 with Roddy Piper in blackface. Partial blackface, I guess. And then,
I'm going to say half is more than partial.
That's fair. That's fair. And then the, of course, infamous scene of John Cena and Vince McMahon backstage where Vince drops the N-bomb. And then Booker does the, tell me you did not just say that thing. And I will say Peacock, of course, obviously run by NBC. NBC went real hard on
their own stuff. They went real hard on their own content.
A lot of people say too hard. I'm one of them because, yes, someone doing blackface in earnest, unforgivable, it's bullshit, it's racist, it's terrible. That shouldn't be said. But when you pull episodes of TV series like the Dungeons and Dragons episode,
I talked to Sadie about that today because she was like, well, yeah, they pulled the Dungeons and Dragons episode off of Community. And I said, the reason that I'm less okay with that and okay with the WrestleMania 6 and the Vince saying the N-word thing is the insult was black. That is what the insult was for both of those situations.
Right.
It was controversial, or it was effective, because it was black.
Piper was trying to get heat by portraying black people as lesser.
Yes.
Vince McMahon just wanted to get away with saying the N-word.
Yeah.
On television.
Community did a joke that the joke was, this person is so stupid he didn't realize he did blackface.
No. That's not even what it was. That's not what it was at all. He was a drow. Drows are dark elves that live underground. So he just made himself dark, like what a drow would actually look like. Because he also had the pitch white hair and everything else. But it looked a lot like blackface.
And one of
the characters even called it out of just like, so we just gonna ignore this hate crime?
Yeah, it was Shirley.
And so he was not actually in blackface. He was in a cosplay that was just unfortunate looking.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing with 30 Rock. They pulled one of the live episodes that they did because John Hamm and Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan is his real name. Tracy Jordan is the character on the show. Okay. they did it was like a throwback episode where they did this like really NBC was airing this really insulting show where one of the actors was in blackface working with a black actor.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was the black actor hated this dude because he was in blackface. So they're making fun of the blackface while using it. And I get it's not my call. I am a straight white dude. Yeah. I have no room to talk about any of this.
Because, of course, we are not offended by this because it does not directly affect us. We can be offended by it, but it's not overtly offensive to us.
We can recognize that it's cool, but it's like, but they're using it to make fun of the way that it was actually earnestly used. And I get at a certain point, like some people think that that's really not a big difference. And that's, you know, totally valid. I understand that. I just, to me personally, again, someone who could not be affected less by it, I thought it was overkill. And I know a lot of other people did as well. Like there were black community leaders talking about like, why are you going after, you were doing, what we were looking for is actual systematic change and for actual racists to be deplatformed and outed. What you're doing here is like fake. Like
yeah.
You're just trying to, you're trying to perform and look like you're so sensitive to the topic, but you're overreaching. This is dumb.
And Michaela, if you want my thought, that DX imitating the Nation of Domination will probably also be removed at some point.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, no. It's one of those things that if you want my personal opinion about this, good. Those things probably don't need to be. I mean, it's archived and you can definitely find the DVDs for it. Mm-hmm. They exist.
You could use a VPN and just use the network, use a different country's version of the network because that's still up.
Yeah.
It will continue to be up.
If Peacock doesn't want it, Peacock paid a lot of money to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want certain content on their streaming platform, they are more than welcome to not have certain content on their streaming platform. That's kind of their right as an American business. Which I mean, is kind of, this is my stance on everything in the last fucking 2 months of if they don't want to do it, they don't have to. That's kind of your First Amendment right as a company is, oh, we don't want that representing us. Are you shaking your head? No.
Shaking your head? No. 'Cause that's not the First Amendment, but.
Well, I mean,
that is a capitalism right.
The capitalism right. Sorry.
I'm a private company. I can do as we see fit.
But like,
it goes hand in hand with the whole, like the only people who are mad about the Dr. Seuss thing don't know what's happening with the Dr. Seuss thing.
Yeah.
They just see cancel culture and then they don't bother to look into it even remotely.
So like, I'm going to ask a question to you. When was the last time you watched WrestleMania 6?
Oh, never.
All right.
Like, I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
I watched it. When did the network come out? 2013?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, because it was WrestleMania 30. And that was 2013. I watched it, or 2014. 2014. I watched
it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I watched it 7 years ago. Because in that first, like, 6 months of the network, I went and watched, like, every WrestleMania.
Sure.
Because I was able to do it, and it was cool, and I was in college with a lot of free time.
Yeah.
So I watched WrestleMania 6 7-8 years ago. That was the last time I watched it. And hindsight being what it is, really racist. You can't even say it wasn't because it was. That was the point of the half blackface. Mm-hmm. I was on Pages Today, Wrestling Pages Today, and they were like, well, they're getting rid of this and that. They are removing something that is older than both of us.
I will say that I think, because I messaged Shannon about it, and why can't I see my messages anymore? Okay, I'll just put it up on my phone. He pretty much, I'm going to just read what he said because he echoes my sentiments exactly, is I do not think these should be removed. I think what they should do is do what the Looney Tunes did, where it's scrolling back up because we talked a lot today.
Is it the whole like, hey, this was this time period, this was not as a hot button topic as it used to be, like something like that.
I think it's he said Disney, but really it was Looney Tunes that did it. Warning, put a warning in front of it saying the idea isn't to hide the terrible things we've done and just pretend it didn't happen. It's to learn from what we did wrong. And yes, because Looney Tunes has some really offensive, really gross racist caricatures in some of their older cartoons. And what instead of like trying to pretend that they were never like that, they put up disclaimers now before you can watch them where it says, hey, this is a product of the time. This was a bad time. This is bad. This is wrong. And, you know, you need to be prepared that there's some pretty insensitive stuff about to be shown.
Yeah.
So I think they should have done something like that. Because now the big thing is, sure, the Nation of Domination thing, like they're in blackface to make fun of Mark Henry, which is bad and shouldn't have been a thing to begin with. But where does the line stop? Where does Peacock decide, like, hey, because I don't know how familiar y'all are with the Attitude Era, but they did some real bad stuff.
There was one that, and I'm only bringing this up because I was, whenever Cody had me listen to, or got me hooked on the Attitude Era podcast, mm-hmm. they were starting the SmackDown crawl, which was like a Patreon exclusive thing. But they had to bring up the fact that on like one of the first episodes of SmackDown, it was implied that DX performed forced sexual acts on Stephanie McMahon. And that's what the implication was on that episode. And then the next episode, they cleared it up because they were at a college. And I want to say Penn State, which I'm not 100% sure on, but that's also real gross if you like realize in hindsight again. But it's okay, Asa. The hand wave moment was, oh, it was just some sophomore. And like that.
Not better. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm on your. Yeah, no. But that was the hand wave at the time. So like,
I was thinking like Katie Vick.
Oh, yeah. I went way more.
I didn't realize they went full. Okay. Holy shit.
Yeah.
This company.
A little bit. Yeah. So like, maybe they should have done the Looney Tunes route. But at the end of the day, it's not WWE's call. It's NBC's who they have to answer to. Like, and I'm not being rude to WWE and professional wrestling as a whole. I mean, obviously, I love wrestling. But Peacock and NBC has to answer to a lot. And I mean, a lot more people. So
but at the same time, like when you know you're getting into business with a company with that kind of past, like,
I mean, it's also on you. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's weird, but we'll see. It's because, you know, there's still not the full library did not immediately get sent over to Peacock. They're slowly adding stuff, but we'll just have to kind of,
can you like, imagine, wait a minute, time. I'm going to hypothetical. This is a Dalton. Mm. This is like me thinking my headcanon. There are two people with standards and practices through NBC right now watching everything WWE has done. They're going through the network right now and they're just like, nope, nope, definitely not. Uh-uh, not even a little bit. So like 96 to 2002 just didn't happen.
Do you think that Chris Benoit ends up on Peacock?
That's a really good question. I don't think so.
I would be, I don't know. I just thought that I saw someone had asked that and I was like, oh, that's actually a good question. But we can't stay on this forever because there's still a lot to talk about, including that there was an earthquake in Japan that was captured on tape in a New Japan event. It also affected AJPW, but the video I saw was of the New Japan show.
Wasn't Jay White like in the ring when it happened?
Jay White was in the ring when it happened. He bailed out. Also, to think quickly on his feet, did you see that he stole every title?
Yeah.
He stole every championship belt from ringside.
Jay White doesn't get the credit he deserves.
You can see Kota Ibushi like at ringside to like, hey, calm down. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. So thankfully everybody was okay. It doesn't seem to be any, as far as I know, it wasn't a very damaging earthquake, although it did register a 7, but it was farther out to the ocean, so it wasn't like a 7 there while it was shaking. That's just they were far enough away that by the time it got to them, and they continued on with the show finished once everything kind of settled down. So happy that, you know, no one at the event was hurt, and hopefully it was far enough offshore that it didn't cause any issues for the people of Japan, because God knows they have had to deal with too much earthquake damage and devastation.
Yeah.
Just even in our lifetime, much less, you know, the full history. So, there is more WWE news of the Thunderdome is moving to yet another venue. On April 12th, the Thunderdome will be moving to the Yuengling Center in Tampa, Florida. That will be the day after WrestleMania, and interesting.
Probably cheaper.
I don't know how long they're going to be there. I don't know like what the deal is, how it differs from them being at. Are they at Raymond James now, or is that just where Mania is going to be?
I think that's just where Romania's going to be. Because okay. I want to say they're in like a basketball arena right now. I'm not 100% sure. It just, it wouldn't make sense to rent out a stadium when you only need like an arena.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah, like I know that somehow. I'm splitting hairs, but a football, like football stadiums in America are the biggest venues.
Right.
Like there's a difference between having a, like list, like music wise, there's a difference between somebody having a stadium tour and somebody having an arena tour. Both of them are impressive. Stadium tours way more so. And even like the open air baseball stadiums are huge, but like a basketball center is a lot smaller. Like the Rosemont, American Airlines in Chicago, where the Bulls play, that is huge. That is a big arena. That is such a small size compared to the Superdome where we went to Mania at.
Yeah.
And it's just because.
And there's a reason that there's now a reason that they've only been doing WrestleManias at the same like 10, like, well, not even that, like six cities.
Yeah. And it's because they're the ones, the
biggest ones. They can bring the most people in.
Yeah.
Michaela, in our live chat here, which you could be a part of if you gave facebook.com/podzilla1985, give that a like. And then every Wednesday night, roughly 7 p.m. Central Time, you can come and hang out. Not next week, though, but I'm going to get to that later. Michaela asks, are you going to have fans at the Raw after WrestleMania? I don't know.
I'm going to assume no.
I don't think so, because I feel like we would have seen about like ticket sales and all of that by now, because the WrestleMania tickets are gone on sale. And that reminds me that you have to sign a waiver saying that you cannot hold WWE or the event or the, probably the state of Florida responsible if you get COVID by going to a giant gathering of people during it while a pandemic is still going on. I think
you ready?
That is, if you have someone sign a waiver to hold an event, that means that you know it's not safe to hold an event.
Yeah.
You it's wanna... not like bungee jumping. It's not like going skydiving where it's like, hey, what we're here doing here is inherently dangerous.
Sign a waiver.
You have to sign a waiver. Just going to an event really shouldn't hold that, but it does now because pandemic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I do not think that they're I haven't heard, at least, like I haven't seen that they're doing it, but I also haven't like seen them flat out say no, they're not. I've just seen so many things about ticket sales for WrestleMania going live that I feel like I would have seen.
Do we
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We would have seen the tickets.
Do we know, is AEW's not making people sign waivers? Yeah.
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Cause like I'm on Facebook groups with people that are actively going to AEW shows, and I don't think they're signing waivers, which I mean, like, it doesn't make it better and or less. Like it's still probably not the best idea in the world. But at least they are actively in an open air area every week, because they're still running out of dailies, I'm pretty sure, which is an open air arena.
Yeah.
So,
and they're also doing
super limited seated, and it's all
and like with the pod stuff where they said like if people were scalping out like other tickets to their pod, like to not immediate family members, that they would like all of those tickets were then.
Yeah, I'm not villainizing AEW. It's probably still not great to have people that aren't a part of your production team there. But they're at least taking every responsible choice, as responsible as you can possibly be. But, I don't see WWE doing the same.
I'm trying to do tickets, and I'm not seeing... The only thing that I'm seeing from Ticketmaster for WWE is for WrestleMania.
Yeah, so they probably just wanted to do... That's probably also a sign that you shouldn't have tickets to WrestleMania if you're only going to do tickets there. But
yeah, so you can... Yeah, because there's three listings for WWE tickets right now. For you can either get tickets for day one, day two, or the 2-day combo ticket. So I'm guessing there's not going to be.
How much are those tickets?
I didn't look.
Okay.
I didn't open it up. I just saw the dates. Apparently they are probably, I saw someone, and this could have either been speculation or they said that they were, the cheapest that WrestleMania tickets have been in a very long time, because people don't really want to go to Florida, especially when you see what happened in South Beach.
Yeah,
For spring break, like we're all gonna die.
I do have two friends that are going, and I think it's because they were so cheap, and it's two friends that I totally trust to be responsible. That being said, like it's one of those things where it's not like it's not my friends that I'm like, oh no, it's those Dalton friends. It's just like you need better friends, Dalton. It's one of like when they message me like, hey, we're going to Mania. I was like, I should be saying that before you, because I should be the one being stupid. But, I'm assuming tickets were super cheap. I mean, tickets were cheap when we went And we didn't go during a pandemic.
I mean, they were cheap-ish, but they were about what I would expect WrestleMania tickets to be, especially for the seats that we had.
That's fair, yeah. Like, I'm just saying, like, the amount that we paid versus what I expected to pay, two different numbers.
Okay, that's yeah. Fair. And I will say, too, seeing the WWE tickets, they did not include Hall of Fame. So, bunch of Hall of Fame news.
Oh, yeah.
A ton of Hall of Fame news. Let's start off with Batista making a statement saying that he is passing on the Hall of Fame for this year because scheduling conflicts. Apparently, he's in Australia shooting for Guardians 3. And also, he wanted to do it in front of the fans because of how much the fans mean to him as a performer and what they mean to him for his career, which I think is actually really sweet. And it's also just like, I'm choosing to believe in my petty, petty heart that this is just a little quiet middle finger to WWE of just like a, no, oh, you want to put me in your Hall of Fame? I'll do it next year. Like, they'll do it later. Which also, this is a good year to move on to the next year because of you have 2 years worth of inductees.
Yeah.
And we talked about a couple weeks ago, like, oh, do you think they're going to maybe go lighter this year on the induction, on the people getting in? And no, they did not. Not even remotely.
Yeah. Because they're packing it in 1 week.
We have three this week. It was either earlier this week or late last week. It was before after we recorded.
It was like Monday morning, I think, is the Bischoff one.
Yeah, as Eric Bischoff was announced as going in, which that kind of seems like a no-brainer. The only reason I was surprised is because of how recently he's done stuff with AEW.
But he's also super recently was hired by WWE. He was working for them 2 years ago.
Yeah, but he's been doing stuff with AEW
like
3 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what I mean, is it's just like, oh, I kind of thought there might be a little bit of a timing issue, but he obviously hasn't signed a contract there, so they're putting him in.
Yeah. Which, like, say what you will, just, and I'm going to do this for everybody really quick. Say what you will, dude deserves to be in there, because he kind of revolutionized wrestling and, like, helped that boom start in the 90s.
Yeah, if there wasn't Eric Bischoff, there would not have been a Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
That's just plain and simple. And that is the biggest period of pro wrestling that, we'd ever seen. Then there were rumors that RVD was going to be the next inductee.
Still just rumors.
He was going to be the next announcement, but those have not been confirmed yet, but would not surprise me even a little bit. And that's also between his work with ECW, like original, and his work in WWE. That's another kind of like, oh yeah, absolutely. Rob Van Dam for sure belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Then I had so many people today message me saying, hey, did you see Kane's getting into the Hall of Fame? And I was like, yes, I did. So my brand is secure. My brand is, I'm trying to, if you can see, no, you can't, there's too much stuff back there. I have that signed picture you got me is on this little desk here behind me.
That was a bonus Christmas gift when I got that in my pro wrestling crate. And I was like, well, I can't use this. This isn't mine. This is Ace's.
Also, sidebar, because I think this is a funny story. So you give me this signed picture of Kane.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not personalized, which,
it's an 8x10.
You hand me a framed picture of Kane with his signature on it. And I'm thinking, holy crap, this is such a cool gift. Like, I can't, like, oh, this is thoughtful. And because, Kane is one of my all-time favorites. And then you open your mouth.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh yeah, this came in a pro wrestling crate and I didn't really want it.
No, it's not that I didn't want it.
Like,
oh, I wanted it, but
that's what you told me.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
That is what you told me.
Because like I keep all of my 8x10s in like this really, Sadie made it for me, or she put it together for me, but she has like a binder that they all have like slip covers. So I put the like 8x10s, I always put them in there and I'll look at them every once in a while. And I'm always like, I should sell these at shows, and then I never do. But the second I got that Kane one, I looked at Sadie and I was like, well, like, this would be cool to have, but this is Ace's, right? And she was like, yeah. Like, even Sadie said, like, that one belongs to Asa. Because it's Kane. And, like, I love Kane, but I don't love Kane to the extent that you love Kane.
So what I thought, again, was, oh, you went out of your way to try to find this thing.
Oh, yeah,
no. And ordered it and, like, got it shipped in and everything. I was like, oh, really sweet. And instead it was a, oh, hey, this came in a loot crate. There you go. And I know it's not that.
But yeah,
that
no, was yeah. Just
the, that was the roller coaster of emotions I went on that Christmas.
Where it was just like, oh my God, Dalton's so sweet. There it is.
And then this one I was really hoping wasn't true. Not because I'm, you know, I don't like him. But just because I think it would be a hilarious story when you follow all of the stuff that they did with his career. But the Great Khali is another inductee into the Hall of Fame. And I really wanted it to just be a rumor, because the reason I thought it was is because it was, I saw it before the Kane announcement, but it was from a site I had never heard of. And I had only seen like two or three people post about it, and they were all using that same site.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, this maybe not like, oh, it says per WWE India. And I was like, do you remember when WWE programming showcased Khali as the champion to India when he was not the champion?
Yeah.
And do you remember when Jinder Mahal was champion and Khali like took the belt from him and held it up himself?
Yep.
So I was really hoping this was just a, okay, they're telling India, they're telling the fans that he's going into the Hall of Fame, but it's not real. But it actually is. WWE itself actually announced that he is going to be another inductee into the Hall of Fame this year. So this is a stacked year.
A lot, you know, of big
men.
We
got Molly Holly, we got Kane, we got Great Khali. So I want to ask you this, and then we'll get on to your Retromania review. Who do you think inducts each of the three?
Taker to Kane.
Okay, pause. Do you think, because that was my initial thought, but then I decided probably not. Because Taker's not in the Hall of Fame, right?
No, he's not.
So Kane's getting in before Taker.
Yes.
Which is weird. And do we think that it's possible? So I would be surprised, but I also am talking myself out of it because of how much they've pulled the curtain back on Taker.
Yeah.
But do we think his first live appearance as Mark Calloway, The Undertaker, is to induct someone else into the Hall of Fame and not to receive his own induction?
Do you want me to take a second guess? Do you want me to guess somebody else? Because I have a backup answer.
No, well, let me tell you my answer first. Okay. X-Pac.
Okay. Good.
X-Pac is he is my follow-up because of he really kind of kick-started the Kane is one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time.
Yeah.
And it was because he teamed up with Undertaker before that and after that. And, Daniel Bryan, you know, with Team Hell No, RVD.
Yeah.
If he doesn't end up being inducted, like, he wouldn't be bad. Like, any of Hurricane, like, holy crap, there's so many.
You options. Bitch! Oh, was mine! That okay. That one was mine.
That could be cool.
Brian Underwood. Brian Underwood hit us up with the real best bout machine, Great Khali.
Who better than Khali?
Sorry, it got me. That was good.
So, yeah, he says 100% will be Taker. And again, I would not be surprised by it. It just, like, it seems like, man, it would be kind of a shame if the Undertaker's first, like, real-life live appearance in front of people wasn't. Because, yeah, we've gotten the documentary and all this other stuff, but none of that's been in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool, which, I guess, granted, this really wouldn't be, so.
You could still do it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so, yeah, it probably would be him. It's a shame that it couldn't be Paul Bearer. But,
yeah, that's a bummer.
And then, who do you think about Eric? What do you think about Eric Bischoff? Who do you think
Bruce Pritchard
would put him in? Oh, that's a good idea. Actually,
they're really good friends.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, that's a good one. I kind of assumed it would be Hogan.
That would be another good one.
Or someone from the, maybe even like, maybe not necessarily Hogan, but like Kevin Nash.
Yeah,
like one of outsiders there.
I think one of our answers is right, though. I think it's going to be Hogan or Pritchard. Mm-hmm. Just because, and you could do the whole thing of, because I think those two actually are really good friends. I think I learned that from the Conrad Thompson podcast, which, holy balls, the fact that somebody that's as staunch with AEW as Conrad Thompson is, that Bischoff is still getting that Hall of Fame nod. It's super cool. But yeah, I think Pritchard is going to be the one that inducts him.
Okay. And then Great Khali.
Jinder Mahal.
Is it weird that I went to, I can't remember his name now.
Ranjan Singh. Excuse
me. Ranjan Singh, yes. Like, I went to him before Jinder, but Jinder makes so much sense.
And it's one of those things, we're not being racist, guys. We're just figuring out, we're trying to figure out how WWE is going to do this. Because,
no,
like...
I don't think... No, it's not racist. It's not racist at all, because Ranjan Singh was his manager for a long time, because I don't think that they'll pull Daivari to do
his original. But it's one of those manager. Where there's no, like, giant feuds or amazing tag teams that's just, like... That's obviously who's going to do it. No, it's like one or two people. It's going to be the person that he was last on TV with or his last manager. Because like they're not going to get Daivari. So it's going to be one of those two just because Great Khali does not have a very diverse history in WWE. He was there for maybe 5 years and had a lot of big moments because he couldn't do anything, really, because he was so large. Like, I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying, physically, there's only so much you can do when you're like 7'4".
His mobility was very, very limited.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, his best work was in The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler. You can't convince me otherwise. He played ping pong with himself.
Someone did point out that The Longest Yard is now the film with the most WWE Hall of Famers in it.
Goldberg's in the Hall of Fame, yeah.
Goldberg, Austin, Nash. Now Khali.
Yeah.
There's four right there.
So man, why do I feel like there's somebody else, but yeah.
I can't, yeah, I mean, there probably is. Oh no, there might be an actor. Two that's in it, but it doesn't matter. We're moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see who they get for Khali because I do think they have options. It's just that those are the two that I would think would be. Actually, I take it back. I do think Daivari is more likely than Ranjan Singh because I don't know if Singh's still with the company, but didn't they hire Daivari as a manager?
Like a producer? Maybe. So, I mean, it could be Daivari. Brian Underwood is agreeing, Hogan or Pritchard, and then. Michaela brought up Jinder and Natalya because apparently Natalya and Jinder Mahal are really good friends too. But I think that goes back to like Deep South. Because, oh my God, if you ever heard Luke Gallows talk about the Great Khali stories, that like there were certain weekends that you were just Khali's handler.
Yeah.
And he was like, we would fit in this Ford Focus, which like Sadie has a Ford Focus. And like I'm 5'10 and I'm snug in there. I am not above 6 foot and 290 pounds and they just both fit in that car. It's fine. Yeah, no. Jinder is the obvious answer for some reason. For some reason, it's the last time he was on TV, but we'll find out, I guess.
We'll see. That's always fun though. It's like, that's half the fun of like the Hall of Fame is who's getting in, who is being inducted and then who's going to induct.
Remember whenever they had Jim Cornette induct the Midnight Express? That was insane. That's the one that I'm like, that was brave. That was very brave of them. Because like, man, Cornette don't give a fuck. And you were going to give that man a live mic and it was on the network. You know, that was on a 10-second delay.
I mean, maybe, but also like, I feel like he, never mind. I don't even want to talk about him.
Fair enough. Retromania?
But the Hall of Fame. Yep. So
speaking of old things.
So I'm going to preface this for everybody, because if you didn't listen to last week's episode, Dalton bitched and complained for like 12 straight minutes until I finally called him out on how shitty he was being. So he kept messaging me like, okay, we're getting news updates. There's going to be an update soon. There's going to be an update soon. I'm waiting to hear this email. Okay, now there's going to be a post. Okay, now there's going to be an email. So the Xbox version went out, and he's waiting on a Switch version because he's getting the Switch version because that's what he kickstarted.
Yeah.
And then he sends me a message at like midnight. I don't see it until the next morning, of a screenshot of him playing it on Xbox. So this spent so long complaining about how BS it is that he had to wait for this game. And blah, 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 this dude sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then he just goes and buys it again. He buys a second copy to play it on the Xbox. So, Dalton, I have this listed as your Retromania update, because I thought we were just going to talk about, you know, the Switch and the PS4 news. But no, you're actually going to give your first impression. But wait, it's not just a first impression. I'll let you take it away, but I am starting a timer.
All right, cool. So... update on the Switch and PS4. Sony really isn't giving them enough information on when they're going to have that game. If I'm to guess, it's probably going to be like another 2 months or maybe less than two, but it's going to be the foreseeable future. We won't have a PS4 version of Retromania just because Sony isn't being very transparent with what they need to fix on their end, apparently, if you believe the developer. The Switch version, they have it up in the dev store at March 30th, and all of the updates, they haven't corrected them, saying that you need to push it back, but Nintendo has, like, a certain way that they do their certification where there's blank amount of days that it needs to be in our store before we even set it out. And this is somebody, and I'm going to defend now instead of attack. This guy has never put a game on the Switch, so this was all new to him. And he even apologized that in his most recent developer blog. He's like, this is totally on me. I didn't realize it was that different. I should have done my research before diving into it. So I was wrong. All right. I was shitty and I was wrong. So we're still waiting. Hopefully the 30th we get the Switch copy so I can play it on Switch. I did buy it on Xbox One yesterday because I wanted to play this game. It is a first impression / full game review because I have beaten the story and I have all of the achievements but one. It was $24.99. It is worth every penny and then some. The story is super short, although I think they're going to do story updates because it the story ends on a cliffhanger and we get a really cool preview into what was gonna happen in the story. So I hope we get a story update on that because I think it's really cool. Story was a lot of fun. That teaches you how to play the game. 10 pounds of gold is their arcade tower. That's a lot of fun. You play 5 matches and then you wrestle Nick Aldis for the NWA title. That's the only title in the game. And then you defend it 5 times, and then you face Aldis again, and that's the end of the mode. So that's your tower mode, and then they have their exhibition. You can have up to 8 wrestlers in the ring at a time. It's all that 16-bit arcade WrestleFest-style art. One of the more beautiful games I've played in the last couple years. And it's not amazing graphics. It's not super rendered 3D textures and all this shit, but it's gorgeous for what it is. I've played with every character multiple times. There's only 16 wrestlers. That's kind of a bummer. That's the one big con about this game is that the roster is too small. But the roster is really cool. So I've played with everybody. I've played a lot of different game modes. I've done the Retro Rumble. If I was to give it out of a 10, I would say a solid 8. I will keep playing this game. I think I will play this game more. I won't play it for 6 hours straight like I did last night. I was playing it until 2:00 in the morning and really ruined my whole day. I don't think I'll be doing that a whole bunch of times, but I think once I have it on Switch, I'll be playing it a lot consistently because it is Retrosoft Studios. I wish I could remember the dev's name, the main guy that does the talking. They made the perfect arcade style game. Because a game, one match won't last longer than 4 minutes. And, it's one of those things, it feels like I'm playing an arcade port to a game system. To where, I feel like I should be hitting a button to insert a coin. That's what they made. The controls are really good. There's really no, if you were missing strikes, it's because you have not figured out the reach of that character yet. Or of all the characters, because they all pretty much move the same. So once you figure that out, there's no collision detection, stuff like that, because it's all arcade style. I'm not saying it's perfect, because it's not. It has its flaws. But the flaws are so few and far between, and at $24.99, with what you can do and the fun you can have with it, because you can also play up to, I think it's up to 4 players. And it's all couch co-op. There's no online. That's a bummer. But think about, whenever all of this shit gets lifted. And, say you want to come over and watch a pay-per-view, or, I come and watch something at your place, and I bring my Switch with me, and I can be hey, you want to knock out a couple of games on Retromania?
Whatever it's when we're back at the store.
Store, yeah, and, multiple,
Throw it on one, got the pay-per-view on one TV, we got
fucking Retromania
on the other.
They did such a good job. So, 8 out of 10, I'm going to say buy it if you like wrestling at all. It's really cool. The story mode is super smarky. Bill Apter's in it. Dave Meltzer's in it. Jeff Cobb wants to punch Dave Meltzer. I think he even said, if somebody gave me 5 minutes with that guy, I would just murder him. It's so funny. It's super inside baseball. They know what they're doing. And with a game that's not, super simulation, I'm perfectly cool with that. Because it's dumb. the story mode, the beginning of it is Zack Sabre Jr. broke both of Johnny Retro, who is John Morrison's legs. So he's like rehabilitating himself, and like Stevie Richards. Oh,
that's weird that like it's he's in the game, even though now he's, that's how long this has been in development.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun though. You were getting live updates as I was playing it, and it's so much fun. Michaela, we're going to get there.
We're about to get there, because it's been over 5 minutes now that you've been talking about.
It's so good. It's such a good game. I'm not even a little bit upset that I bought it twice. Because Shannon asked me, he was like, should I buy it? And I said, if you want to wait for Switch, wait for Switch. But I am not upset that I have it on two systems.
Yeah.
And so buy it. It's a lot of fun. We're getting Chris Bay as free DLC hopefully soon. I'm assuming we have to wait for all the systems to drop first. And then we're going to get Mr. Hughes, which is really random, and then James Storm are going to be paid DLC down the road. Hopefully they keep, because there was a lot of people in that Indie Mania that they were doing. It'd be really cool to get people like Matt Cross in the game. But Warhorse is in the game. Fucking Warhorse is in the game. That's awesome.
That's super. He has his own arena,
which is hell, and it's one of my favorite ones to use. But yeah,
that alone makes me very tempted. And when I saw that news, because we talked about it on the show when it got announced.
I would say when the Switch drops, Ace, buy it, because it's the perfect Switch game.
Especially if I go real good on that new Switch that's going to be coming out this year, maybe.
I have the Mario one. I'm good.
And then, so you heard it there, Retromania, slam dunk, pick it up if you're a fan. Hopefully it'll be on a system, that you have soon, if you don't already have it on Xbox. So, and then, yeah, Michaela talking about Bray Wyatt, that brings us to the end of the show, cause Fastlane was this past Sunday, and going back to last week, where we were talking about how, wow, it doesn't feel like there's really any stakes. Nothing really feels like it's super important, like, must see. I enjoyed the hell out of Fastlane.
It was
fun. We were messaging back and forth. Like, everything was a really, really good match. Riddle retained the U.S. Championship against Mustafa Ali, which was a bummer. But I did appreciate the fact that Ali's first win against Riddle was using a move off of the top rope, and then Riddle won this match using his finisher off the top rope.
Yeah, the storytelling in that whole feud has been really good.
The most important part of it, though, is it seemingly Retribution has been disbanded. It began with Reckoning walking out on him, breaking rank, and then Slapjack left, and then T-Bar and Mace hit a huge, beautiful double choke slam on Ali. Give me a Dio Madden Dijakovic tag team, like legit the new Titan Towers 2.0. like, give me that I want that. Tower. And also Mia Yim just in the women's division.
Towers of Terror.
And then like Towers of Terror, yes. There. Titan Tower. There was a tag team called Titan Towers, wasn't there?
I don't think so. It's fine. It's not important.
I mean, or maybe that's just the name of
the name of the
call them the Titan Towers, then.
That's fine, too.
It works. Yeah. And then, like, I messaged you, like, put Slapjack in a nice North American Championship picture in NXT. Maybe you got a stew going. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler retained the Women's Tag Team Championships against Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks to the surprise of no one. And they did the thing that I fucking hate in pro wrestling, in that it replays and watching the show after the fact do not exist. Because Jax threw Bianca Belair onto Banks while she had Baszler in the bank statement, broke up the pinfall, led to the miscommunication, the champions retain, and then Sasha and Bianca are fighting because Sasha says Bianca Belair cost them the match because she intentionally broke up her own team's submission. No, pull the replay up on your giant friggin' screen and watch her get yeeted by Nia Jax.
There was one.
It's so stupid. Oh, I hate it.
There's only been one smart baby face in wrestling history, and that was Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
That's it. I was thinking, why is every baby face an idiot? Me included.
Yeah, and so don't get me wrong, like, Belair and Sasha do need to begin feuding to, like, build up hype for their match, but, like, all they've been doing is, like, losing lately. So, like, I don't get, this doesn't seem like a, this build has been very lackluster.
Yeah. Wow, I'm sorry.
But also, I'm really hoping to finally get a women's tag team championship defense that doesn't involve a singles champion. Intercontinental Championship match, Big E retained against Apollo Crews.
That match was awesome.
It was really, really good. It was short.
Yeah.
Which bummed me out. And I didn't like the finish. And I also really didn't like the fact that this doesn't seem to be the end of their feud. Why does Apollo... I need a reason why Apollo Crews continues to get championship matches. He has lost 8 of them.
Yeah.
That's... Why is he still constantly just getting, you know... Even have just Big E. Big E has even said, no, we're done. I'm done with you. You've lost. Get to the back of the line. Like, is it... now that it's personal, he's more willing to... I don't know. Not digging
just the
prolonging of it.
The opening of that match got me. I was sold, and they went right for the spear. And I'm like, oh well, they're just changing up their formula a little bit, and I'm here for it. It tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Let go. What was supposed to be Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman, Shane faked an injury to the knee, so he was replaced by Elias. Braun Strowman destroyed him, which is it's just fun to watch Braun Strowman just kind of toss people around like they're not even there. Seth Rollins defeated Shinsuke Nakamura in a really good match. I enjoyed the hell out of this match, including the, I don't remember the name of it, but apparently Loki used to do it, and he got real mad on Twitter. He reached up to his keyboard and started typing out all of this anger. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. Drew McIntyre beats Sheamus, in a no-holds-barred match. Again, long match, good match. I'm fine with just two dudes just beat the shit out of each other.
Big meaty.
And this is what this was.
Big meaty men slapping meat.
And I've also been a fan of, you know, I say what you will about not having the fans there, but I do enjoy when people explore the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And you know, throws people through the screens and stuff like that. I'm easy like that. Alexa Bliss defeated 14-time world champion Randy Orton. Via pinfall, clean as a whistle. Okay, not really. This was a cinematic match, just not in like a different location.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss is apparently low key a god, and has all the abilities to like make the lighting fall and fire
well, no,
shoot up
Asa,
and...
she's not a god. She knew that Kane got inducted to the Hall of Fame, so his power was on the waiver wire. I'm using fantasy football now. So she picked up the Kane powers from the fantasy, and it cleared before, and then it got announced.
Legit, because at the end of this match, so the Fiend pops up in a new look, new
hate
mask.
It.
You hate it. I love it. You're stupid. Go fuck yourself. I love crispy, burnt to a crisp Fiend look. It looks neat.
Is this your busted Batman? Is this your version of busted Batman to me? This is the most ultimate Fiend we'll ever get.
Yeah, I haven't even reached my final form. I think he looks super cool. Maybe he will have, although it does prove that Randy Orton has better healing powers than the Fiend.
Yeah, Randy Orton's Wolverine.
Alexa Bliss threw a fireball into Randy Orton's face. He had to wear a lucha mask and was all boiled and melted and disfigured. And then the next week he was just fine.
Yeah.
Fiend's been gone for like 3 months.
We didn't say Justin Smart's name at all, did we?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's in the chat, so he hasn't said anything yet, but it said he's watching. I was like, we didn't say his name. I didn't summon that boy.
Maybe he's just supporting us because he's a good person.
Have you met Justin? Have you met Justin?
Yes. Okay, sorry. He's supporting me.
There it is.
But I dig the fact that he looks like an action figure that you put in the microwave.
You sent me the Melt Man
thing, and that is just spot on. Oh my
I
God.
Lost my shit when I saw that.
I either hate hokey stupid shit in wrestling, or it's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And this is just, for whatever reason, can't describe it, has landed in the favorite. Although I will say, if this leads to a, what was it called when he did it?
Use your words.
It was when Randy Orton had his shoulder injury before he was just vanilla son of Bob Orton babyface, and he eventually like worked his way to being heel. Was it RTV?
Yeah.
Where he gave his health updates.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
If this means we get an RTV segment at WrestleMania because of the Firefly Funhouse match like we got with John Cena, absolutely sign me up. I want it. You have the two biggest stars, bar none, that WWE's created in the last 15 years, and you put them in a back-to-back WrestleMania program with the same type of storytelling? Yes. Give me. Give me it. I want it.
Yeah.
And then the main event, the motherfuckers did it to me. They made me believe, and they ripped my heart out of my chest like the fucking Kali Ma. Roman Reigns defeated Daniel Bryan to retain the Universal Championship. Edge was special guest enforcer. Ref goes down. Bryan gets thrown into Edge, or Edge, or he throws Reigns.
No, hit him with the chair.
He hit him with the chair because Reigns ducked.
Yeah.
So he locks in the Yes Lock. Roman Reigns taps, but there's no one to see it. And then Edge annihilates both with a chair. Edge hits a spear, wins. And so this has to be a triple threat at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we don't know for sure because we haven't had SmackDown Live, but it has to be a triple threat. Which
it absolutely has to be.
I'm fine with, I guess. Like, it's going to be a more entertaining match with those three in it. Like, not saying that Reigns Edge won't be entertaining, but I think having Daniel Bryan there to be the buffer in between the two of them, there's a lot of... Because, like, now... And I'm sorry, we're getting best Daniel Bryan. The, like, ecosystem, like that, the eco-friendly Daniel Bryan heel was a lot of fun. But there is far things better than just pure babyface Daniel Bryan in WWE.
Yes.
Because they make that man the most ultimate underdog every time. And it's like Kofi. I'm, like, perfect underdog babyface, and they do it great. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I am curious to see, because Edge, like, lost his cool. And this is real, real vicious Edge that we got here at Fastlane. So I'm almost curious if we are getting a complete repeat of WrestleMania 30. You have a returning legend winning the Royal Rumble to challenge for the world title, and now Daniel Bryan being added into the match last minute.
Yes.
Do you think Edge was heely?
He's tweener.
At the end of that match? Yeah. Do you think he's got... Tweener's not a bad place. Because even Daniel Bryan, like, their interactions have been very antagonistic towards each other.
Yeah. Because...
Like,
and
respectful,
like,
for the most part. But there's... But who's... I like who's that. Been I love the... that. Because you know how much I hate... Hey, we are on the same side. We have the same alignment. So we're friends automatically.
Who's been the bigger dickhead, though?
I mean,
Edge, out of the two of them,
especially because, when you factor in the ending to Fastlane.
But even before that, Daniel Bryan's thing wasn't, I'm taking your spot in WrestleMania. That's never what he said. Edge's thing is, this is about me. This is my moment. And Daniel Bryan's like, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I want to be at WrestleMania, and beating Roman Reigns is my ticket to get there. It was never to usurp Edge. He just wanted the belt. He wanted he wanted a main event at WrestleMania. He didn't care how he got there. And Daniel Bryan didn't do anything like heely to get there. He earned shots. Whereas Edge is like, you need to stay out of this because this isn't about you. This is about me and Roman. And Daniel Bryan's thing is just like, this is about WrestleMania.
Do you, I'm curious why they are leaning so hard into this is potentially Daniel Bryan's last WrestleMania. Like, where is that coming from?
I think it's just to add. I think it's to add synthetic stakes to this match.
Yeah, but like, it's so unnecessary. And like, did you see the leaked screens allegedly of the WWE Network Spotlight 2021 inductee Daniel Bryan?
Mm-mm. Oh no! I did. I saw that.
Those were going around. So it's like, I don't know if those were photoshopped or.
So he might be retiring, which, I mean, dude has every right to.
Sure,
like,
but it's
Hall
also
of Fame,
like...
career, but it's He was also making, he did an interview with somebody recently about Pete Dunne and putting, like, the younger guys over. And he was like, everybody says Ric Flair's the greatest in the world. And, like, yes, he is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. But the sport has evolved, and it has evolved past Ric Flair. And it is going to evolve past me sometime. So I want to wrestle these young guys while I still have a little bit of youth in me to where I can do it. But, yeah, no. So he's been kind of hinting at shit like that. I don't think it's his last WrestleMania, because he's only 39. Yeah. Like, if he quits, it is strictly so he can focus on his family. Which, if he does,
unless,
good on him.
I mean, he's also talked about the other people in other companies that he would want to wrestle someday. So maybe it's his last WrestleMania because his contract's coming up and he wants to dip out. So who knows? But we are well over an hour, so we're going to call it there. What did you think of Fastlane? Did you enjoy it? Were you looking forward to it? Did it meet your expectations? Did it fall short? I wouldn't know. Let us know. Let you guys know now. Next week, there will not be a Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Unless something changes, I am supposed to start moving that day. So I am going to try my damnedest to get a show the week after, because that would be the WrestleMania prediction show. And we're going to go hard on that. And Dalton and I have kind of been cooking something up that I think is going to be fun. So we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks. But just as a heads up, there won't be any PWU next week. So unless, like I said, unless something falls through, which I'm really hoping it won't. But if it does, then we may do one. Or I might be too mad to want to record something.
Yeah, so. I see it just not being a show next week.
Yeah. So we'll see. But like I said, depending on how the move goes and when I can get internet and everything hooked up, I'm going to try my damnedest to get a WrestleMania prediction show to everybody. So, but until next time, check us out right here on facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like, watch us record these live. Of course, you can go to podzilla1985.com, check out any older episodes. And of course, we don't just do PWU live. Nerd Up was live on Monday. They did PZ85 plays last night. There's going to be PZ85 AD tomorrow night. And then, of course, Horse Time on Friday. There's a ton of great shows. It's a lot of fun. Come be a part of it. Hang out with us here in the chat like Michaela does every week, who we appreciate the absolute hell right out of Michaela.
Yeah.
For sure. And anybody who stops in. Steven was in here earlier. Like, we had a bunch of
people. We had Otis for a hot second. That was fun. Bless Scary, but fun.
He's always watching. He just let it be known.
Oh, I don't like that. Oh,
text
I don't
that,
like
text
that.
Text that to him.
Yeah.
And then, of course, prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get your sick Dalton Anthony.
And for until 1 p.m. Eastern time, if you use code Dynamite, you get 20% off my shirt.
Neat.
Yeah, I just got that email. I wish they gave me more time than that, but it's fine, Pro Wrestling Tees. You do you.
And then, of course, you can find me at Twitch and Twitter at the 5-Star Man, with the number 5, of course. So... I haven't been streaming lately, and I probably won't again until I'm settled into the new place, but I'm looking forward to getting back onto that, because it's so much fun to do, but by the time I get off work, I'm just like, man,
oh, yeah.
I kind of want to not do anything.
We're getting old and tired.
Yeah. So until next time, thank you everybody watching live, thank you everybody listening to us on a podcast service. You don't know what it means to us. We would do this anyway, because like it's just a chance for us to BS with each other for an hour, but the fact that you invite us in and enjoy this with us, it really does mean a lot. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to everyone, and we will see you in 2 weeks for Pro Wrestling Unscripted's WrestleMania preview show. Have a great night, have a great week, be safe.